You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Although he's not up for re-election this year, you might argue that George W. Bush is the undeclared candidate in today's election. On today's installment of Political Projections, we'll look at how Hollywood has portrayed the Bush years, and the films we'll be talking about are Rendition, Oliver Stone's W, and HBO's Recount. If you'd like to offer your assessment of any of these movies, please leave a comment on our show page at WNYC.org. Joining me now are Peniel Joseph, Associate Professor of African American Studies at Brandeis University, and Barbara Kellerman, Lecturer at the Center for Public Leadership at Harvard University. Welcome to our show.
Thank you, Leonard. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you, Leonard.
No other president has had so many films made about him while he was in office. Barbara, why do you think there's been so much cinematic interest in the Bush presidency?
Well, first of all, the man's been there for 8 years. Second of all, he's been either the protagonist or the observer to three major dramas in the last 8 years. One, of course, is 9/11. The second, of course, is Katrina. And the third is the financial crisis. But also, as we saw in W, which I know we'll talk about in a moment, it's not just George W. Bush. It's the whole family, especially the father, perhaps, but also the brother, Jeb, in particular, and the mother. So this is a familiar cast of characters, and among other things, psychoanalyzing the entire family is near irresistible.
Patty, do you think that the kinds of films we've seen reflect the critical attitudes of Hollywood liberals toward a president that they've never supported?
Well, certainly. I think one of the interesting things that all the things that Barbara mentioned were completely true, and also the contested 2000 election as well. I think as soon as that election transpired, many people, at least in Hollywood, looked to things like The West Wing and looked to sort of fictionalized accounts of how a tough liberal president might react in a changing world.
To give us a kind of an alternative to what we were seeing in Washington.
Absolutely. I think, you know, if in the current election, if you do see an Obama victory tonight, I think that there's enough excitement among certain conservatives who are really pro-McCain conservatives that a cable channel could launch some kind of parallel universe where a McCain-like presidency changes things as well.
Well, let's look at something from a cable channel. We'll play a clip from HBO's Recount where surrogates for the Bush and Gore campaigns, Jim Baker and Warren Christopher, meet to talk about the first mandatory recount in Florida.
The world is watching us, Jim. This is a tremendous opportunity to show how a nation of our power can resolve a conflict as great as this through diplomacy and compromise.
Compromise? I thought we were here to discuss scheduling.
Well, yes. But it was my feeling that we should be able to agree on a method to settle this matter.
Well, there's nothing to settle. If we're ahead of the completion of this machine recount, our position is this. Governor Bush has won the election. Catherine Harris will certify the election. No negotiations, no compromises, no extensions. Bush is president. I go home. End of story.
It's always great to see you, Jim.
And you, Chris.
Throughout the movie, Warren Christopher is portrayed as ineffectual and unwilling to fight. Barbara, wasn't that a pretty common stereotype about the Democrats in general during the years that followed the 2000 election?
Well, I suppose yes, Leonard, but I think Christopher, especially as he's portrayed in this film, is perhaps a bit of an extreme example. What's so delicious about the film, and was evident in the clip that you just played, is that W himself is in fact invisible. He's got his surrogate, James Baker, who was actually part of his father's administration, managing the entire show. And while Al Gore puts in at least a moment's appearance, we simply don't hear from W during the entire drama. So he's portrayed as being ineffectual before he even gets to the White House. It's kind of sad and perhaps even a little bit funny at the same time.
Penny, in that clip, the actor portraying Warren Christopher also emphasizes diplomacy and cooperation on behalf of Vice President Gore. Do you think the country has shifted to the point where those qualities now seem to be desirable in a president?
Well, I'd say yes and no, because I think one of the things that Democrats were accused of in the aftermath of 2000, and Gore as well, was really not fighting hard enough for that election, even though technically the Supreme Court took it out of everybody's hand in the 5-4 decision. But even when Gore sort of made that last speech to the public, Democrats wanted him to be angrier. I think that carried over into the 2008 election, where until recently with Obama's big lead, many people felt Obama was too soft. You know, people felt that Hillary was the person strong enough to attack the Republican attack machine or combat that machine. And I think Obama's steady nature in the debates was really counterintuitive. I think most Democrats would have liked him to basically yell and scream at McCain, but the middle of America, who are sort of moderates and independents, they really liked that he was that cool and steady. And I think polling-wise, it suggests that if he had some big moment of getting angry, it would have worked to McCain's advantage.
Recount was made just this year. It's really the first major non-documentary effort to examine this historic 2000 election. Peniel, I wonder why it took nearly 8 years for any major film to be made about that very dramatic situation. This is the sort of thing that filmmakers love to make movies about.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think it's only cable, that was on HBO, that would be willing to tackle a question like that. And I think it was really raw. I think Bush also benefited from 9/11 to the extent that what's interesting after 9/11, if people recall, in the days following 9/11, even NPR, National Public Radio, and other liberal outlets were effusive in their praise of Bush. I mean, this seems like millions of years ago now, but in the aftermath, I remember listening to public radio, and I was astonished. I mean, they were saying how presidential he was, and they were comparing him to a Shakespearean hero. In sort of the euphoria, the patriotism after 9/11. So I think that sort of forestalled a movie like Recount, which was going to, by virtue of what happened, have to sort of be harsh on the Bush presidency. And this second term with the war in Iraq and the financial meltdown, and like Barbara mentioned before, I think Katrina, for many liberals, was the straw that broke the camel's back, where the president was so ineffectual and so out of touch with Katrina, and that's 2005, people wanted a change.
But Barbara, have you wondered why the 2000 Florida recount wasn't cited as a major issue in any major election since 2000?
Yeah, I do think, as Peniel implies, I think 2011, what happened on 9/11 simply short-circuited what happened just a little bit earlier in the year 2000. And as to the film itself, as I suggested earlier when I mentioned that George W. Bush is virtually invisible and Al Gore nearly so, that's actually a rather, Recount is really quite an intellectual film. It doesn't have any dramatic major scenes. It has no Hollywood star portraying any major figure. It's really a rather discursive and thoughtful film, and I'm not surprised that it found an audience, but I'm equally not surprised that filmmakers did not rush to make it for the reasons that we've mentioned.
One of the main issues in the 2000 election was the right to vote, and I want to play another clip from Recount where the head of Gore's legal team, Ron Klain, played by Kevin Spacey, and his staff learn about the purging of voter rolls by Catherine Harris's office.
The supervisor in Leon County went through his purge list person by person. And of the 697 names that the state gave him, he found that only 33 were actual felons. And the supervisor in Miami-Dade, he complained that his list had clear mismatches. But he was told, look, even if the names don't match, go ahead, consider them felons.
Okay, so how many people were illegally disqualified from voting?
20,000 people. Almost half of them were African American.
Peniel, with the record turnout expected in the African American community today, do we know if there have been any purges of voter rolls similar to what happened in Florida in 2000?
Well, We haven't heard of similar, but what we have seen, and the New York Times and other outlets have reported this, that there's a real feeling in terms of African Americans that there's going to be really a discounting of their vote and their ballot. I mean, already in Virginia, NAACP tried to get an injunction to keep polling places open. That was denied. But we've seen in Richmond already where voting machines are just not working, and they've had to use emergency handouts. And that's because historically, places where there's black polling places don't have the same infrastructure as predominantly white polling places, meaning a lot of times they run short of ballots and facilities, and a lot of times there's a low turnout. We're predicting, pollsters are predicting a turnout increase of from about 14.5 million in 04 to perhaps 20 million this election.
Viewers would assume that recount had a Democratic bias, but Jim Baker is reported to be fond of the film, even held a screening of it. Do you think that's just because his side won?
Oh, I think he's portrayed really rather, as I said, the film doesn't really have any obvious heroes, but I think if there is one, apart from Kevin Spacey's anger, which I'm sure a lot of Democrats sympathized with, the hero, really, the winner, is absolutely Jim Baker. I'm not in the least bit surprised he liked the portrayal, which I have to say is rather accurate as well. He comes across as a street fighter on the one hand, but as a smooth, smart player on the other, and as somebody who plays to win the game. And that's, after all, what it was about in 2000, whatever laments we've heard since then. Just a word on what's happening today. The expectation is, there's of course going to be some challenges. There already are, as we just heard. But the likelihood from all the polling evidence that we have is that it will not be a close vote the way 2000 was, neither in terms of the popular vote nor the electoral vote, at least not so far as we can tell at this point. And failing that, whatever objections there are will be weaker amidst what seems like likely to be a strong Obama victory.
Barbara Kellerman is at Harvard University. Peniel Joseph is at Brandeis University. They're both participating in today's political projections segment. As President George W. Bush has broken with precedent in many areas, from the way he's conducted his foreign policy to his interpretation of the separation of powers and even to the definition of the word torture, Peniel, although the president never appears in the next movie we're talking about, Rendition, isn't the film a pretty direct response to his policies on suspected terrorists?
Oh, absolutely. Rendition, he never appears in that film, but the film is really about sort of American democracy turned upside down in the aftermath of 9/11, and it really sort of documents the way in which the Reese Witherspoon character, her husband, is sort of just taken away on basically circumstantial evidence that he may be part of some terrorist plot. And the Jake Gyllenhaal character throughout that film sort of wrestles with the meaning of trying to uphold civil liberties and constitutional rights and protect America, while the Meryl Streep character really thinks of it as a zero-sum game, that even if this person is not the terrorist that they seek, it's one less person they have to worry about. And that's kind of the logic of the Bush regime, has been sort of the abrogation of certain rights for a greater good. And I think Rendition argues that greater good is really problematic if you believe in the Constitution and democracy.
Well, we're going to play a little clip from Rendition where Meryl Streep, who plays the head of the CIA's Rendition program, Corinne Whitman, is confronted by a top Senate aide, played by Peter Sarsgaard, about the detention of a U.S. resident.
What if the press were to get a hold of this? They might say that a dedicated family man, an NYU graduate, has been detained without any charges, without access to a lawyer, just squirreled away to God knows where.
Before you launch into your big speech, why don't you ask your boss how badly he really does want to stick his neck out for a terrorist?
He might, for due process. Maybe I should have a copy of the Constitution sent to your office.
What are you taking issue with? The disappearance of a particular man? Or national security policy?
You have him.
I didn't say that.
Yeah. I'll say, Mr. Al Ibrahim should be brought back to the U.S. If he's guilty, try him. If not, let him go home.
Mm-hmm. Honey, this is nasty business. There are upwards of 7,000 people in central London alive tonight because of information that we elicited just this way. So maybe you can put your head on your pillow, feel proud for saving one man while 7,000 perish. But I got grandkids in London, so I'm glad I'm doing this job. You're not.
Barbara, that debate is presented as pretty equal on both sides. Do you think there is any common political ground on this subject?
I'm very happy you picked that clip. I think that's what's the most interesting part about the film. The film is actually quite well done and quite interesting. It's by no means a great flick, but worth
and got bad reviews on the whole.
It got rather bad reviews, but none of those films have done well. You know, this is not a subject that people really want to go to the movies about, especially not since the financial crisis hit. It seems distant. People want to be entertained rather than instructed. But the film is a quite intelligent and well-meaning film in that the sympathies seem to be clearly anti-Bush administration, particularly on the issue of torture, and the scenes of torture are difficult to take. Having said that, as the Meryl Streep lines just indicated, where she says, "This is nasty business," and then she cites the incident of 7,000 people, according to her, saved in London because of the kind of work the CIA or whatever does, I think that's about as measured and balanced a portrayal of this impossibly difficult issue as you're likely to get out of Hollywood. And in that sense, I think it is grist for the mill of both sides, which is not a minor accomplishment.
Well, Peniel, in the movie we see some pretty graphic scenes, waterboarding, sleep deprivation, electrocution, other measures used in what the Bush administration has called enhanced interrogations. How accurate are they?
Well, I think they're very accurate in terms of what's come out of Abu Ghraib and different scandals in the administration. I also think the film didn't do well in terms of critics, because critics felt like they were being lectured to. I think critics somehow wanted a more, they felt it was too didactic. They wanted something that was more or less more ambiguous. But in defense of the filmmakers, I think it's really hard to be ambiguous when you're talking about torture. And we think about Alberto Gonzalez and the defense of torture that was coming from the Justice Department. I mean, this was absolutely unprecedented in the history of America. So the film really makes that point that once a democracy starts to torture, it loses its moorings. And I think that, again, critics found that too didactic. And I agree with Barbara. I think the audience doesn't want these kind of educational movies. So, you know, none of these movies are doing that well at the box office, but they're really important artistic and at times political statements.
And then that includes W, which didn't do well. But it is my sense that whoever wins the presidency today, they're both going to have to contend with the complex legal and moral issues involved in the rendition set up, and both of them are opposed to it to varying degrees.
Yeah, if you like having guests who disagree with each other.
Oh, I do.
Peniel and I have just found a point of disagreement. I do think the film, Peniel, is more ambiguous than you suggest. It's clear, you're right, it's clear what the filmmakers intend, but as I suggested earlier, I think they do bend over backwards to present both sides of the issue and try very hard not to fall into the trap of being predictably liberal, predictably left, and predictably, in particular, anti-Bush administration.
The third film is Oliver Stone's W, and he told me that his goal was to do an American version of The Queen. Do you see that?
I know that's what he wanted to do.
Did he succeed at all?
I think The Queen is a far, far better. Look, this is Oliver Stone at his most tame. I mean, anybody going to W and seeing this particular film, knowing it was made by the rabble-rouser the enfant terrible, Oliver Stone, is going to be stunned. But it is by no stretch, I don't think, in my view, as good and as nuanced and as subtle and as sympathetic a film as is The Queen.
Well, you have a little clip here of President Bush, played by Josh Brolin, not Helen Mirren, but Josh Brolin is very good in the film, speaking to Condoleezza Rice and Donald Rumsfeld and General Tommy Franks in the lead-up to the Iraq War.
What about projected casualties?
Well, I think now more in the neighborhood of several hundred, no more than 1,000.
Right. Just remember, Americans don't like to see dead boys on their television sets now.
Yes, death tends to give war a depressing image. Mm-hmm. We can issue a blackout on any coverage of soldiers in caskets.
Well, been a long haul, gentlemen. Ladies, I don't care what happens now, how many damn votes we do or don't get in the U.N. Come Monday morning, 10 a.m., I'm giving Saddam and his two sons 48 hours to get out of Dodge, okay?
Indeed.
All right. Everybody in agreement then?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right. May God bless the troops. God bless America.
She cried so when I left her, it like to broke my heart. And if I ever find her, we never...
There was an article in the Times, I think it was today or yesterday, about how President Bush is the invisible person during this election. Do you think that the country is suffering from Bush fatigue? Is that one of the reasons these films also haven't drawn much of an audience?
Oh, God, yes. You know, this is, I'm not even making a political statement when I say, oh, God, yes. Look, we have short attention spans, shorter now than they've ever been before. And even under the best of circumstances, 8 years is a long time for any single person to be in the White House. We saw it with Bill Clinton very recently, and now in spades, of course, and for many obvious reasons, we're seeing it with George W. Bush. I've got to say one thing, Lenny, before time runs out. That's about the portrayal of women in some of these films. The way Condi Rice was portrayed in W and Kathleen Harris in Recount, I was appalled in both cases. Peniel, I don't know if you agree with me on this, but I wouldn't want to be a woman portrayed in one of these two films.
Well, Condi is definitely portrayed as an enabler in this film.
Oh, Mike, as a simpering, whimpering enabler in beyond any stretch of the imagination. Both women are pathetic, including Condi in this particular one.
Well, what I would say, I mean, certainly in terms of the portrayal of women, I agree, but in terms of Bush fatigue, I think what's interesting about that is that Bush has become largely irrelevant in a lot of ways, although he's been used as a battering ram against the McCain candidacy. But in terms of the Americans, I'm not surprised people don't want to see W. Because he's become, you know, the lowest, suffering from the lowest approval rating of any modern president. But I disagree with Barbara in terms of Bill. I think Bill Clinton's presidency is very interesting because by the end of that second term, the country was doing so well financially. People who were polled said they'd vote for him for a third term. What people disliked is they said they couldn't trust him morally and personally, but they loved his presidency and they wanted him to be president again.
Do you think
that's much different from what's going on now?
Do you think that a movie like W would look different if it were made 10 years from now? Oliver Stone made Nixon way, in fact, after Nixon died.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think Nixon is simply a much better film than this one. We know about this movie that it was made in a record short amount of time. We know that Josh Brolin was not originally intended to play the character of George W. Bush. This seems to me rather hastily stitched together. Nixon, simply in terms of movie making, is far superior, more complex, more nuanced.
Peniel, the narrative of W jumps around considerably, but Stone focuses a lot on the president's relationship with his father. Do you agree with the film's suggestion that most of George W. Bush's presidency, at least at the beginning, was a reverse playbook of his father's?
I think even before the film, there was a bunch of different books by journalists who looked at the Bush family and their relationship, and they had suggested that the paradox of George W. was that even though he sort of
rejected much of what his father represented for so long. Eventually, he wanted to achieve and sort of surpass the father. And again, he used James Baker. Dick Cheney was the vice president who was from the first Bush administration. But certainly he took some of his father's main consiglieres and went in another different directions in terms of public policy. And the biggest example of that is Iraq.
All I can say to that one, Lenny, is anyone who does not see the Bush family in terms of family dynamics, mother to son, father to son, et cetera, simply has not read Sigmund Freud.
or seen a Greek tragedy, for that matter.
Oh, my goodness. The main book written from that perspective is Jacob Weisberg's biography of the family. And I cannot help but be sympathetic, and I'm not easily sympathetic to psychoanalytic interpretations of history, but this family is just asking for it.
Now, we said that neither of the theatrical films did well at the box office, but do you think that we'll be seeing more films about the Bush presidency in the future?
I'm not holding my breath, but look, this has been one of the most dramatic 8 years in American history in the three ways that we suggested at the top of the show. And historians, I think, are really only beginning to rub their hands in glee, and that includes filmmakers as well.
Yeah, I think it depends on what history's judgment is going to be, and we're not going to know that for another 30 years. I mean, right now, history's kinder to Nixon than it was in the immediate aftermath, largely because he had a Democratic Congress in both houses between 69 and 74 and ushered in things like OSHA and different things and opened up China, and he looks like a much different president now than in the aftermath of Watergate. So we'll really have to see, and we'll have to see what happens tonight, because if there's an Obama win and it's a potentially paradigm-changing election and there's another term, that's also going to affect the political landscape as well. I mean, the historical landscape, because people may see GW as sort of the demise of a certain kind of Republican hegemony that was first seen with Nixon, but really institutionalized under Ronald Reagan and his own father.
Peniel Joseph is Associate Professor of African American Studies at Brandeis University. Barbara Kellerman is a lecturer at the Center for Public Leadership at Harvard University. Thank you so much for being with us on today's Political
Projections. Thanks, Lenny. It was fun and interesting.
Oh, thanks, Lenny. Thanks for having me.